Well, good morning, church. I want to talk to you for a few minutes today about comfort. Comfort's something when you're going through it, one of those it is what it is moments. Last week we started a new series about what do you do when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when you go to the doctor and you get some bad news? Or you get a call from your children or your spouse and it's not a good situation and there's really nothing you can do. What do in your faith, in your walk with the Lord, when there's really nothing you can do about it? One of the things that we're going to want to talk about for a minute is comfort. Have you ever gone through a situation that was really difficult for you, something that you wouldn't wish on anybody and it's happening to you, and then you went and you talked to someone about it? It didn't take the pain away, right? It didn't make it go away or make it so that there wasn't a problem anymore, but you probably felt better about it. You probably felt like I got it off my, got that weight off my chest and, felt a little bit comforted from it. I think that's one of the, huge jobs of our church, of the church, is to comfort one another, to be there for one another when you're going through trials and tribulations in your life, to have someone you can talk to. Because it helps. It makes a difference. And it doesn't only make a difference for the person that feels comforted, but it can build our faith when we get to comfort someone. We get to be there for them, pray for them, be a light for them. It's something that's very encouraging and growing to our faith as well. Remember when I first took First Baptist Church of Hollowell, I was 23 years old, fresh out of Bible college, and within the first week, there was a lady who I had never met, but she was in her early 30s and was at end-stage cancer. And she had breast cancer and metastasized, and she was, she passed away within about 6 months of me taking this church. And so one of my jobs was to go visit her. And I remember I'm 23 and she's mid-30s, and I walked into her house, and her husband, his name was Chris, he wasn't a believer and wasn't there. And I said, "Hey, my name's Michael." She knew my family. And I remember thinking, I have really no clue what to say. Like, I'm not going, I don't have cancer. I struggled. Like, I sat with her, and what do you say to someone? You're meeting them for the first time, they're, you have a few months left to live and they're dying of cancer and they want to know about their faith and they want to know about, what do you say? So how's it going? No, you don't say that. How are you doing? Nope, I'm going through my mind thinking, what do you even say? I did my best. I tried to comfort her and show her, and I don't know if I did any help or not, but I tried. About 2 weeks later, I went back and I took a lady that I'd known for years and years and years from our church who actually had leukemia. Her name was Millie. Her son and I were great friends, still are great friends. Millie has since passed, but she'd been a Christian her entire life, a strong person. And Jill was not a strong Christian, she's kind of a new Christian, so I brought Millie and we went to see Jill again. And as soon as Millie walked through the room, there was like a connection between them because they both were suffering the same thing. They both been through it. I think there's something powerful when someone enters the room who's been there and there's a person who is still there, they can really help that person, make a big difference. And Millie, the things she was able to say to Jill just provided such encouragement. And I could see, I kind of just hung out in the corner and let these two ladies talk and they became friends and Millie spoke at Jill's funeral actually. But I think there's something powerful when you've been in that fire. You've been there, you've dealt with that issue, you've suffered, and then you meet someone who's where you were. You can really provide some great support, that you can make a difference. And when you have one of those it is what it is moments, that is something that you think you could never use and nothing good can ever come out of that situation. Well, years later, you might see that God used that situation to uniquely help someone that someone who hadn't been through that pain could never do. There's this camaraderie with suffering. There's a natural bond between people who have suffered deeply and similarly. This camaraderie of suffering, what I call it, is when you have suffered, those who have suffered are uniquely qualified to comfort others who are suffering. That that suffering and giving comfort can be life-giving because you are uniquely qualified to help someone in a way that if you hadn't suffered that way, you never would be able to help them. Now, none of us are going to be like, hey, Lord, sign me up for some suffering. I want to be really able to comfort others. But there's something powerful to know that God can use that suffering. We don't want it. We'd rather have it gone. We're going to pray that God takes it away. But if he doesn't, it's nice to know that God can still use my difficult situation, my suffering. Sometimes we suffer because we made dumb decisions. And sometimes we suffer just because something happened to us that had nothing to do with us. And we, you know, got bad news and we suffered. But God will use the good and the bad to bring light, to bring life, to bring comfort to those in need. What do you do when there's nothing you can do? What do you do when your marriage has difficulties or children have difficulties? Life's not turning out the way you thought it was. In the New Testament, our writers give us incredible principles for those it is what it is moments. And these New Testament writers aren't new to pain. They're no strangers to adversity. Lots of them gave their life for their beliefs and were tortured and persecuted through all kinds of trials and tribulations. And they are uniquely qualified to write into Scripture some things about suffering, some things that happened to all of us that we wish we could get erased or taken away or never happened to us. But until we go to heaven, life's not fair on earth, and we will suffer from time to time until we enter those gates. And so until then, we have to learn how to see God through suffering. Because probably everyone in this room knows someone who went through a trial or tribulation, a time of suffering, and wandered away from God because it didn't make sense. How could God take that person? How could they lose that? How could, you know, this good God allow this bad thing to happen? Your friends and family, my friends and family, have walked away from faith because they couldn't understand that. I want to look at a few scriptures today that talk about that, because the New Testament writers, they processed those same fears. They thought those same things that so many of us have thought before. And they still found out that God isn't absent, apathetic, or angry with you. God is at work maturing us. So we can't do it, but he can do it through us. If you'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to be in chapter 1 this morning. And I'll read to you. I'm going to start in verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." They say that he's the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Paul wrote this. But what's interesting is about 12 chapters later, Paul talks about what he calls a thorn in his flesh, this debilitating, humiliating, embarrassing issue that Paul had in his life. And we don't know exactly what it was. I wish we did. We don't know what it was, but Paul says in this scripture that I'm dealing with something, Lord, take it from me. Like it's not right. It's not what a pastor should be dealing with. Lord, take this, you know, sin from me. And what does God say? God says, my grace is sufficient. Says it a couple of times. My grace is sufficient. In other words, he tells Paul, no, I'm not taking that from you. We don't know why, but I think that it helps us to be able to put it in context. There are times where we will face things and we will pray, God, you know, take this from me. And God may say no to you as well. We have seen him say yes. Probably all of us can track a time in our life where we prayed and God said yes and things happened and it was awesome. We can all probably backtrack in our story of life to a time where we said, God, please, and God didn't take it away, just like he didn't take it away to Paul. But Paul, he maybe had that question that we and our friends have had, is how could God be good and allow bad things to happen? Like, I'm praying, I'm trying to do the right thing, and this is still happening to me. But Paul didn't allow it to destroy his faith. He didn't allow it to make it so he couldn't trust God. He kind of came up with this idea that, hey, God can comfort even in my pain. That his grace is sufficient. then maybe it's not God's will to remove all of the pain and trials and tribulations in our life, then maybe it is his will for us to go through some things, to be strengthened and refined by the life that we live here on earth. Let me read to you the whole verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. In our troubles, we pray, and God comforts. Sometimes those circumstances, God will, as I said, can take them away, can heal those, and sometimes they stay. The scripture doesn't say every time we pray, God will heal, or God will change, or God will intercede, but it says that he comforts in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. Let me read to you verse 4 one more time. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. When we suffer, it enables us to do something. Through our suffering, God enables us to do something. This is powerful. God comforts in all troubles so that we have the ability to comfort others. That God will comfort. That he will, you feel better when we talk to someone about what we're going through. It'll be 10 times more powerful. He'll comfort. He doesn't always take away that issue, but he will comfort you through it. But Paul kind of breaks this idea down as that the Father of all comfort comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others, so that we can be a comfort, we can be a light. Throughout history, God doesn't just get us, it's God's ultimate goal isn't for us just to become Christians, because if that was his ultimate goal, we'd become a Christian, we'd die and be raptured up into heaven. God's ultimate goal is for us to accept him, to become a Christian, we call it a Christian, and then to live a life of worship to him. To live a life reaching his people, to be a light and to be salt of the world, to make a difference. And part of the way we make a difference is by comforting those who God sends in our path. And we are uniquely qualified to comfort people when we have suffered the same way. There'll be a camaraderie between you two that you've gone through the same things that person's gone through, and God's uniquely created and qualified you to bring light to that person. And it's powerful. We'd rather change it. We'd rather make it so we never, had to be comforted at all and never suffered at all. But there's something powerful in your spirit when God can use something that happened in your life to make a difference in someone else's life. It builds your faith and it brings comfort to that person as well. Verse 5 says this, "For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ." This practically means our capacity to comfort is determined by the degree to which we have suffered. That our capacity to comfort someone is really determined by the degree in which we have suffered. You suffered a little bit, be able to comfort a little bit. You've suffered a lot, you've been through what someone else has been through, you really can feel it. You know how it, the weight of it, what it does to your life, when you've really suffered, you have a unique ability to profoundly comfort someone who's suffering in the same way. And then that's why, in this dark world that we can live in from time to time, how important the church is. Because there are people that will come into our paths who are suffering or have suffered, who are debilitated by their suffering. And you might be uniquely placed in that person's life to be a comfort, to be a light, to make a profound difference. That meeting with a pastor or leaders in the church, they wouldn't have the right words because you have gone through something similar to other people. And I think it's not always fun to talk about suffering and having to be comforted, but it is a real thing out there. It's a real thing. It's something that this world faces all the time, and we can not ever talk about it and pretend it's not there. We can be real and say, yeah, they're suffering. We know people who are suffering. And part of the answer to what do you do when there's nothing you can do is to look for someone to comfort you or to comfort someone who's been where you are, because it's powerful. Verse 6 says, "If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, It is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comforts. Some of you, or some of us, can read the Bible and think, that's why I struggle sometimes with faith, because God allows us to suffer from time to time. We wish it wasn't true. We wish that it would be that we could become a Christian and nothing bad would ever happen to us and put like this, you know, shield around us to protect us from everything. But with this fallen world, we know that there's evil out there, there's pain and suffering. And it says so powerful. Let me read it to you again. If we are comforted, this is verse 6 and 7, if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. That we are uniquely qualified to share in our comfort, to when we are comforted by God and we feel filled up and we feel like, okay, God, you got me through that. I don't want to go through it again, but Lord, my faith grew because you showed me that even though I had to walk through that valley of shadow of death, that you were with me, that you protected me, that you provided comfort for me, that I'm stronger on the other side of that trial. But also, I'm uniquely qualified to comfort someone who is going through that trial. These real principles make a huge difference, and it's one of the reasons that I love the church, because I've seen it work over and over and over again in ministry. My wife lost her dad when she was 11 years old. She gave piano lessons to Kellyanne gave piano lessons to a young girl who was about 9 or 10 whose dad passed away right during that time. Her name was Adriana. And Kellyanne was the only person that I can even think of who had lost a father at the same age as Adriana. And they developed a special bond, and Kellyanne, she would never wish that her dad would pass, but God was able to use that pain to comfort someone who really, really needed support. We had a lady in our church who had a stillborn daughter, and they were a young couple, and it was horrible for them to go through that. About a year later, and I met with them. I haven't experienced that. I prayed with them, but I couldn't really comfort. Like, I don't know what to say. About a year later, another lady in our church who'd been trying to have children for a long time got pregnant and then lost her baby. And I, again, was faced with this opportunity of what do I even say? And so I remember, you know, just it had been a year ago that Sarah had lost her kid. So I reached out to Sarah, and I knew it was fresh. I didn't know if it was the right thing to do, but I said, would you mind meeting with Rachel? And Sarah said, yes, absolutely. And they, not only did Sarah provide comfort for Rachel, but Sarah, it helped her to work through such an amazing amount of her pain to be able to talk it through and provide comfort to someone else. Like, nobody else could have comforted like they did, could have gotten each other through that situation like they did. But Sarah's pain uniquely qualified her to give an incredible amount of comfort to someone who was going through a similar situation. Think of Millie and Jill, uniquely qualified to comfort each other. That so many times in our stories, we have suffered, and God will place people in our past who have suffered similarly, because we are uniquely qualified to comfort those who have suffered. But many times, if you ever think again, I'll never be happy when you're going through those dark times, that's not true. That God is with you. He will be with you. He will get you through that. You think, you know, nothing good can come from this. We know that God can create good through all things. Sometimes we think there's no point in continuing. There's a huge point. Sometimes we think, you know, God must not be real, he must not care, he must not love me. When you push through those trials and tribulations, those times of suffering, those it is what it is moments, and you push through them, not only does your faith grow, but God uniquely creates something in you that can be added to the church body or added to the kingdom of God that powerfully, powerfully makes a difference in people's lives. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. when God starts something in your life, that he will not give up. He won't be like, never mind. He'll carry that on into completion. That even in the bad times in this world, even though this world's fallen since Adam and Eve, that God still works incredibly powerfully in your life. And I want to say that God probably will work the strongest and biggest in your suffering. Not only growing your faith, not only helping you find the hope and the comfort that God offers, but in your ministry of faith to others. That is that part of your life that is the most painful, that God is the most at work in. So when we go through those storms, those trials in life, don't bury your heads in the sand. Don't just ignore it, but say, Lord, please take this from me, but if you don't, what can I learn from it? Who can I help? Pray for God's comfort, not just his deliverance. Paul prayed for his deliverance, and God said, no, I'll give you my comfort, and that my comfort is enough. Let us all, when we go through those it is what it is moments, pray for God's comfort and pray that God will use us as a light to comfort those in need. Amen? Please stand with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that even though it's difficult to hear and talk about is suffering. Nobody likes suffering. Lord, when you think of the medication world, of there's millions of different pills we can take to avoid suffering. That nothing makes us focus quicker than pain. Nothing makes us try to get away from anything more in life than pain. Lord, we'll do anything to avoid it. But Lord, pain until heaven is inevitable. So Lord, I pray that as we go through painful times in our life, we'll remember these scriptures. We'll remember that, Lord, in our pain, Lord, your word says you will give comfort. That's your promise to us, to give comfort, to give us the strength and the compassion, the understanding to move through that pain. Give us the strength, Lord, to use that pain down the road to bring comfort to someone else, Lord. Your comfort is life-giving, but, Lord, it's life-sharing. It's not made just to be held. To complete that work of comfort, it's made to be accepted and then shared. Lord, I pray that you'll place unique people in our lives this week that we can share that comfort with. Lord, some people in our lives, just place them in our path who we are uniquely qualified to provide amazing comfort because we've been there. We've felt it. And we've come through it stronger. Lord, I pray you would be with us every walk of the way. Lord, use us to extend your kingdom, to grow your kingdom here on earth, to be a light to this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much.